Blog Talk Radio.
Long-term joblessness is getting old. At a recent Orlando job fair, more than 2,000 showed up to apply for mostly entry-level jobs, but quite a few looked closer to retirement age.
Thank you.
You're
good
welcome.
Luck.
Oh, I need it.
So how old are you? 58.
Executive assistant Pete Vaughn thought she'd never retire from her old job. Now she's looking for a new one.
When you come to one of these kind of things, are you surprised by how many people you see that look like they're your age?
I am. I really am. My age and older even. So there's a lot of us out there looking.
Statistically, people over age 50 are actually less likely to be laid off. But for those who do get the axe, the going has never been tougher.
Do I need to do my resume? Or?
No, don't need your resume. Attach your resume to your application. We should make it better.
Laid-off workers 34 and younger have a 36% chance of finding a new job within a year. But for those in their 50s, it's only 24%. And past age 62, it drops even more.
People over 50 are really in a hard spot these days because employers are very cautious to take on not only the salaries, but the benefits that they expect.
Jordan Goodman is an author and personal finance expert.
And in many cases, people 50 plus cannot replace the kind of job they had before. Even though they have lots of experience is less valuable to employers today than being cheap.
Were you looking to get back into a management experience?
That's not news to Sam Wade. The former office manager has been looking since she was laid off a year ago, and she just turned 50.
I think it's my age. I do. I think it's my age. I think it's working against me. I have friends my age that are struggling, and we're all near that 50 bracket, over that 50 bracket, and there's so many young people coming out today that will do the job for a lot less.
And that's more than just a hunch. Texas A&M professor Joanna Leahy sent out 4,000 fictitious resumes for jobs she found in the Help Wanted ads, with high school graduation dates.
Nation proclamation. I heard Lincoln freed the slaves. The North rose up to save the day. Black soldiers fought too. Civil War made it all new. Black people, 3/5 of a person. Everyone realized it wasn't working.
Researchers found that a growing number of people 50 plus are involuntary.
It may be helpful to think about this like a bed. Say you got a California king and a twin. It's obvious to which one you can fit more in. Both can get the job done when you're sleepy. But the point is they're pretty much the same, but not really. States are like that in that they pay taxes in both. But the difference is the sizes and times is not close. For every 30,000 people, states get a delegate. So though you are a state, there's only so much you can represent. The South had the most slaves and wanted them all counted. Nice try, but the North had their own way around it. Blacks were seen as property to buy, sell, or lease. Same as if the North wanted to count horses and sheep. South was plied in favor since they lived where the blacks live. One last thing, it meant paying more in taxes. They needed a compromise, a one-size-fits version. The answer was for blacks to be counted 3/5 a person. The North figured political power could free the slaves, but it ain't black and white because even the North needed the gray. I heard Lincoln freed the slaves. The North rose up to save the day. Black soldiers fought too.
Mic check.
Yes.
Good morning.
Here.
Good morning. Good mic check.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Good morning, Joel. We'll be right with you.
Okay.
I wasn't sure Billionaire Joe if he was here for the intro. If not, Tammy?
Yes, good morning. Good morning. I was on mute for a minute. Good morning, Billionaire family.
Billionaire Joe, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And welcome to the Billionaire Mastermind Forum. Who do we have on the host line this morning?
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Billionaire Baby.
There she is. There she is. Good morning, Billionaire Baby.
Good morning, Dr. King.
And good morning, Dr. King, absolutely. Good morning, good morning. Today is Friday, February. You got to help me out here. I'm losing count
26,
of days.
26.
I'm losing 26. Count of days and months now. Today is Friday, February 26th, and another beautiful day. We are blessed and absolutely grateful for. We want to start off by stating our intent and purpose, and that is to bring together people of like minds. As the saying goes, when two or more minds are gathered together, we get that ability to tap into that third mind, universal mind that allows us to be, do, and have all that we desire. We have our affirmation, as we always do, and after which we have an incredible guest speaker for today. So, Billionaire Baby, go ahead, take it away.
Yes, good morning, good morning, good morning. We are indeed grateful for this beautiful day, for we are very, very blessed, and we give thanks. And we realize that we are divinely created, and within us, we have the ability to align with the divine source that has created us and allowed us to be co-creators, coming with a mission to help expand this beautiful planet and life journey experiences. So we affirm this day, Friday, February the 26th, 2021, that in the infinity of life where we are, all is perfect, whole, and complete, and that we are always divinely protected and guided. And it's safe for me, for us to look within ourselves, and it's safe for us to look into the past. It is safe to enlarge our viewpoints of life, for we are more than just our personality, past, present, or future. We now choose to rise above any personality problems and to recognize the magnificence of our beings. We are totally willing to learn to love ourselves, for all is well in our world. And we give thanks by saying thank you, thank you, thank you, God. And so it is. Back to you, Billionaire Joe.
And so it is. Thank you much, Billionaire Baby. We're going to turn it over to Lady Tycoon to introduce our speaker for today.
Mic check. Good morning, Billionaire family. We're so honored this morning to have Dr. Joel Freeman in the house with us today. And we need to also thank him for the special music that he shared with us that is coming from BH365, Black History 365, as well as Dr. Russ Johnson and Dr. Walter Milton, how we've got to meet Dr. Joel Freeman. For 20 NBA seasons, Dr. Freeman served as a player development mentor and character coach for the Washington Bullets Wizards, surviving 6 coaching changes. Having grown up in Canada, it was during his time working with NBA players that his rather unique interest in Black history first emerged. In 1995, he co-authored the book Return to Glory, The Powerful Stirring of the Black Race, with the foreword written by Julius Dr. J. Irving. 8 years later, he co-wrote the film version of the book, currently with Spanish, Portuguese, French, and English subtitles. With travels to over 55 countries, Joel has worked with the Association of International Schools for Africa, traveling extensively throughout the continent of Africa and conducting a number of training events for educators, government, and business leaders. He has also assisted in addressing issues surrounding conflict resolution, tribal warfare, and the AIDS crisis in meetings with over 100 African kings and queens throughout Beijing, Togo, and Nigeria. Genuine documents and artifacts from the Freeman Institute Black History Collection, over 3,000 items, oldest piece was dated 1553, have been showcased in exhibitions at the United Nations, the White House, Clinton Presidential Library, Secret Service, and many other venues. Many of the images from his collection are included in the B8 365 curriculum. Audiences around the world have experienced his intriguing presentation, A White Man's Journey into Black History. It is an eye-opening experience that transcends race. Well, we're so honored to have Dr. Joel Freeman in the house with us today. Well, you know, we've been waiting for this day for a while, so I know I'm ready. I truly believe our co-hosts are ready. So, Dr. Joel Freeman, I'm going to pass the mic directly over to you so you can go, go, go.
Thank you very much for allowing me and providing me this opportunity to be with everyone. Russell Johnson, Lady Tycoon, everyone else that's on the call, and I thank you so much. What Dr. Milton was on this call, I think, about a few weeks ago. He is the co-author of this particular project called Black History 365, an inclusive account of American history. Dr. Milton is African American descent. I am a Caucasian white man from Alberta, Canada. And how we met is that he was the superintendent of schools of Springfield, Illinois. And he has spent about 14 of his years as a superintendent, 6 prior to that as a principal, and 5 prior to that as a social studies teacher. And so I was doing some training for his team there, his cabinet and other folks, and we became fast friends. And I don't know if it's very often. I don't think he ever brought someone over to meet his wife and his children, his family, be at his home. But that's what he did with me. He brought me over there and we met, and I don't know, we just connected. And so about 2.5 years ago, Dr. Walter Milton called me. We kept in touch, but this was out of the clear blue. And he said, "Hey, Joel, let's do a Black History curriculum together." And I didn't even hesitate. I said, "Sure, let's do that." And so we embarked upon a journey that has been one of the most remarkable journeys of my life. And I can't speak totally for him, but I think he would say the same thing. He lives in Arlington, Texas. I live near Annapolis, Maryland. And so we went down our respective rabbit holes, and we were on the phone with each other sometimes 2:30, 3:30, 4:30 in the morning. You can imagine, like the movie Groundhog Day, it was like every day, 12 hours, 14 hours, 16-hour days, and researching, writing. For me also, it was my collection that was mentioned, over 3,000 pieces. So for 2.5 of those months at least, finding the pieces and setting up a photographic studio and taking pictures of them. Camera, you know, so it have camera-ready images for this project, and I was able to identify over 4,000 images because the book that emerged, it weighs 5.5 pounds. It's 1,248 pages, and has 2,567 images in it, and 1/5 of those images, about 525 of those images, are straight from the collection. And with the oldest piece being, as was mentioned, 1553, dated at that time period. So is something that is interesting. But a little bit later, hopefully we'll have some questions. And I don't call it Q&A. I call it Q&R because I don't have many answers. But I will respond, and we'll let you know exactly what I'm thinking. But I just want you to feel free at that time to ask any questions you have that I haven't been able to fill in. So this project is something that is our love letter to the world. Ever since George Floyd, we know that a lot of people have been searching for handles, And, you know, many times people put memes on social media, videos, and after 2, 3, 4, 5 memes and videos, then there's this overwhelming sense of powerlessness, a sense of impotence. What can I do to change, to help in this particular situation in our country? So what Walter and I have done, you know, people protest in different ways. Remember back in the 60s, you had protest music. Some people protest, like Maya Angelou, with poetry. Others protest with music. And we have a lot of hip-hop music also, as was mentioned. Other people protest with film. I think Spike Lee and some others have done some movies that could be considered some form of protest. And so we, the way we protest is by putting in 2.5 years, as I mentioned, 12, 16-hour days to come up with a solution, not the solution, but a solution to the education gap in America. And it's, you know, as Mandela, Mr. Mandela of South Africa said that education is the most powerful tool to change a society. And so we felt that by having something in the K through 12 space across America, that it would be a way to help to bring about change and be a resource that would be helpful in that way to bring healing to our country. So the textbook, the way we looked at it, because we had to figure out how we're going to take all of this tremendous amount of information and put it in a textbook. And then that would provide, it's called scaffolding in the educational community, where we take that as the backbone of information, the 9 through 12 textbook, and then put it into in a contextualized manner in the 6 through 8 grade bands, and then the K through 2 and then 3 through 5 grade bands. So K through 8 would have their own three different respective levels of educational material. And so we decided immediately that we would not start this textbook, this history, with slavery or enslavement or the slave trade. And the reason being is we just wanted to spend one whole first unit without any pejorative images with a tremendous panoramic view, if you will, of the ancient African experience, the civilizations. We wanted to go into the folkways, the mores. We wanted to talk about hunting, gathering, fishing. We wanted to talk about agriculture and industry, and then to talk about the different civilizations. If any of you have read Chancellor Williams and John Henrik Clark and some of the other Afrocentric scholars, Dr. Giap and Ivan van Sertima, who, by the way, was became my mentor, where he and I called him up and we talked, and Ivan van Sertima, next thing I know, after our first conversation, he asked me for my address, and he sent me a whole box of his books, and Before Columbus They Came, and Egypt Revisited, and the book about the Moors and Asia. And I called him back, and I said, I would love to just bounce ideas around with you. And so we spent hours upon hours. He patiently responded to all my questions and queries and conundrums and everything else, and became very good friends. He passed away in 2009. But all of these different folks that provide a glimpse into ancient Africa, we tried to give a good overview, and then to talk about the different ancient African kingdoms that transcend the current geopolitical boundary lines that we have today. And then now we're ready for the good, the bad, and the ugly of the last four centuries here in the Americas, South America, Central America, and the United States and Canada. And so what happened is that even when we then started moving the timeline into slavery and the slave trade, we spent some time talking about slave insurance policies. Because in my collection, my wife and I own, Shirley, We have five life insurance policies for slaves, and it's quite something to hold one of these these insurance policies in your hand and realize, you know, these are written in Spanish and it uses the term esclavos, la vida of the esclavos, the life of the slave. And so what happened is we talk about the life insurance policies. We then talk about also slave rebellions. We did not want to portray this as a docile group of people that were just going along with it. We talked about the trickery that was used, very well documented, every aspect of this. And then we bring this gentle timeline that takes us, in fact, we have 10 different units, but takes us all the way up to George Floyd and John Lewis. So starting in ancient Africa, moving to the transatlantic slave trade, and then the American system, the forming thereof, we get into the whole area of pre-Civil War, Civil War, and then we get into emancipation and Reconstruction. We talk about the 13th, the 14th, the 15th Amendments. We talk about the Tilden and Hayes presidential situation, 1876, and months later in 1877, we have the compromise between Tilden and Hayes, which basically in a nutshell was that Tilden, the Democrat, said to Hayes and his team, you know, you can be president as long as you take all the troops out of the South that are protecting the emancipation the freedom of the black people. Take all the troops out, and which then unleashed unholy terror throughout the South with KKK, white supremacy, the red shirts in North Carolina, lynching. Just you can see the numbers from the Tuskegee Institute research just spiking around that time, and all the horrific things, sitting with guns near a voting area. And any black person coming to vote, just seeing a group of white supremacists with the guns on their belts, and of course not wanting to vote, just the terror that was unleashed. And so this is the Reconstruction and the Great Migration that moving north up into Gary, Indiana, into Chicagoland, into the north. And a lot of the working on the slaughterhouses in Chicago, the industry in all these different other places in the north, then the move to the west, to California and that whole region, where you know folks like Jackie Robinson came out of California and his forebears moving out west. So the whole Great Migration, we talk about that and its aftermath. We then talk about in Unit 6 about the civil rights and American justice, and we dedicate that whole whole section, that whole unit, to folks like Ambassador Andrew Young and John Lewis and others that were very significant during that time period. We then talk about the economic system. We go into convict leasing. We talk about the prison industrial complex. We deal with then in a modern time about how to grow financially and to expand, and some ideas that a young student at 9th through 12th grade can begin to implement, the rule of 72, those types of things. Where they can invest, and at certain percentages, they can do the calculation every 4 years to see, extrapolate out. You know, as a young, let's say, 16-year-old student can begin to figure out that when they can become a millionaire just through investing their money at compound interest and those types of higher interest type vehicles. Then we get into Black Culture and Influence. This is where we talk about the arts, entertainment, sports. We talk about the Green Book, and give an illustration of how, like, let's say, Nat King Cole and his band would show, his trio, they're performing in a club, and you can see they seem to be having a great time. And then we just kind of step back and say, what was it like for them during the day? You know, this is the evening. They're at a club. They're performing. They're making money. They're enjoying what they're doing, and the crowd seems to be enjoying it very much. But what happened during the day? Where did they get gas in their vehicle when they arrived? What hotel allowed them to stay? Did they come in through the front door or the back door when they came to the club? What are they going to do afterwards? You know, those are the kinds of questions. What bathroom are they using? Those are the kind of things. Then we introduce the Green Book and how this particular book was used to help people get around, go on vacation, and to know that they can get from point A to point B, and if their vehicle doesn't break down along the way, that they can have a pretty stress-free time because they know where they're going to get gas that's going to be friendly, a place to eat, a place to sleep, and they'll have it all figured out and mapped out in advance through the Green Book. We then talk about sports. We talk about the integration of the NBA and how the place that the YMCA played in the NBA in the beginning of basketball, James Naismith, and him in Springfield, Illinois, coming up with this game that he got from a childhood game called the Duck on Rock, and then came up with 13 rules, and then how the YMCA played this tremendous role in expansion of basketball. Because with 4 years, just think of this, 4 years after the game was invented by James Naismith and started to play, they called it cage ball, in almost literally a cage at some points early on. But 4 years later, it was played in China. Basketball played in China. Why? Because in the around the 1870s, the YMCA expanded internationally, and so this game that was invented within the YMCA system set up something internationally. And of course, you have the early 1900s. There were some 28 YMCAs that were built around the country that were specifically designed for Black people to stay overnight, to enjoy. Young students after school could go to the YMCA and hang out at these specific YMCAs built for people of African descent. And so you have all of this happening in the YMCA system that allows basketball to expand and grow. So we go into all of that, and then we talk about Black quarterbacks. And how you know that Black quarterbacks were considered, well, you've got the brawn, but you don't have the brain, the strategic thinking that's required, and understanding all the plays. And so Black quarterbacks have always had this stigma on them. And so we did a whole section, and we listed all of the Black quarterbacks that have ever been. And we have an overview of that. Then we get into Unit 9. We get into the 50 stars. And the 50 stars is kind of like USA Today paper. When you open up the paper to page 2, it's on the left side as you're looking at it. And you see all the states, including D.C., listed. And there might be one sentence for each state of the maybe one or two of the top current event issues in that particular state. And so we built it after that model where we put maybe a 1 page to 2 pages per state where we talk about things in a kind of a bullet fashion with pictures that show what some of the things were that happened in that state that we haven't already talked about in the textbook. And so these are extra things that allows every state to shine. So you can look up under I for Illinois. You can look up under M for Michigan, W for Wyoming, and have at least four, five, six, seven, 10 items of interest about a city or a town that was created, an invention. Someone was born in that place that helped went on to do some other things. And then finally, in Unit 10, we provide an insight into Canada. And one of the things that I think is very fascinating is that when we look at Canada, we look at the people that came from the South that were enslaved, that were kidnapped, captivated in the South. And perhaps some individuals were dealing with the Stockholm Syndrome. Others were resisting in their own way. And then to think of the people that went into the unknown and just started moving north with the North Star guiding them at night. And there's a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Drew in 1856 published a book called Refugees. I have in the collection two first edition copies of this particular book. What Benjamin Drew did is he went north, and this is published 2 years, 4 years after Uncle Tom's Cabin had been introduced to the world, and with the way that it really expanded people's minds about what was really going on in the South. And so what happened is that he went north, and he just started interviewing people, and guess what? 118 stories emerged in his book of people, including Harriet Tubman, before she was known as Moses, before she was known as the general, that included all these stories of people. And so you have one individual who I think 4 or 5 years after he made it into Canada, because, of course, they went north, then the Fugitive Slave Laws in the 1850s pushed them into Canada because of the complicity between the South and the North, that anyone in a law enforcement capacity in the North, they would be fined or fired if they enabled anyone to escape from their clutch or, tried to hide them or anything like that. So he started interviewing people, 118 stories, and it was incredible the stories that emerged. Some people, they actually had visions or dreams where they would see in advance that someone was either safe or unsafe. And when they'd see that person and peer at them from the distance, they would be reminded of the dream or the vision they had that was a safe person. And they just walk right up to them. Or a house. When they saw a house, oh, I saw that in my dream or my vision, that house was safe. And they'd go up boldly and knock on it, the door, because they knew that this is a safe place. And so a lot of things, a lot of stories were told about the journey. And then, like one gentleman, as I was mentioning, in Toronto area, within about 4 or 5 years, he owned several properties that rental leasing properties. And he owned his own home and had built quite a comfortable lifestyle for himself in Toronto. And you have the Don settlement that occurred, and that's where Josiah Henson, he was the archetype or the individual that was used in the book Uncle Tom's Cabin. And so what happened is he interviewed all these people, and then there's the Oro settlement, the Queen's Bush, Pierpont settlement, and others around there. But then he went. In our textbook, we talk about Hogan's Alley in Vancouver that very few people know about. It's a T-shaped area about six blocks. And in that place, we have folks like Cab Calloway, Sammy Davis Jr. performed there. Even Jimi Hendrix performed there because he spent some time in Vancouver. And it was just a place that was robust, all kinds of things happening. And then we go all the way over to the East Coast, and we talk about Africville in Nova Scotia. And we have a timeline from 1491 all the way to modern times that intersects the history of America with the history of Canada and pulls it all together in this incredible timeline. So starting ancient Africa, ending in Canada, and then ripping the headlines out of the newspaper with George Floyd and all that has happened around that with John Lewis and everything else. And also what we've done is we have embedded QR codes throughout the entire textbook. Now, QR codes are simply where you put your camera on your cell phone. You put the camera over a QR code. It then provides you a little thing that you can push, and then, boom, opens up a video, a film, a website. And so someone could be looking at the section around, about, let's say, the philosophical differences between W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington, and be reading that, and suddenly, oh, there's two or three or four QR codes that they can go to, and then they can watch a video or two or three or four, a website. They can begin to see a little bit more information that springs from those other sources, the educational sources for them. And we've curated them very carefully. You can imagine the amount of time it took to watch every video, because some videos were long, some were like 10 minutes, and sometimes they would you'd get to, let's say, 10 minutes into a 12-minute video, and suddenly they go political, or they drop the F-bomb or something like that, and go, oh, no, that was a wonderful video until that moment. We can't use it. And so we have to move on and try to find just the right video. And so then also we have something that's, I think, rather unique. It's actually proprietary for us. It's called the Elephant Experience. And you see, what happened is there are four things we want to invite people to when they are interacting with this textbook. And by the way, it engages all ages. We're finding that families want this as an heirloom piece for their coffee table. We're finding that faith-based communities are wanting every family to have a copy of this. And we're finding that in corporate America, people are saying, we want at our C-suite level, you know, upper management, middle management, to have training for them around this topic of an inclusive account of American history. We're finding community-based organizations like Big Sister, Big Brother, and YMCAs, and all other types of community-based organizations are desiring this. Prison complexes. And our big goal is to get this into the hands of every police officer in the country, and then maybe have them wear a band when they approach a car, that someone in the car knows that they have been introduced to Black History 365, and maybe it can bring the fear factor, the temperature down almost immediately, seeing that on their badge or a wristband or something like that, that they have interacted with this particular information. So anyway, what we've done also with this elephant experience is that we've invited people to four things. Now, the first thing, all readers, now we want them to consider to become critical thinkers. Now, I'll be 67 years of age in just a few months, and I'm fairly tech savvy. I have a love-hate relationship with technology. I love it when it works, and it's very frustrating when it doesn't. But what happens is that every time I use Siri or Alexa or something like that, I find my brain incrementally turning to mush, not using my critical thinking skills, or going to Google to search something up and then taking in pre-chewed reviews of books or something like that. Rather than reading the book, I just read the review and I say, oh, okay, I've got enough of that, moving on. And so I think it's important we invite everyone to become critical thinkers. And I'll share that in a moment, how we do that through the elephant experience. And so then secondly, that's not enough to be just a critical thinker, but also a compassionate listener. And we can all look in the mirror and see there's two ears and one mouth. There's a parable there somewhere to listen twice as much as we speak. And so it's critical thinking, compassionate listening, and then thirdly, to be a fact-based, respectful communicator. So that while we're listening, we're not trying to come up with some type of retort that will strip someone else of their dignity and self-respect, instead to be thinking, actively listening, and really intent and concentrating on that other person. So that when we do speak, that we're speaking in a way that is respectful to them, but also fact-based, that we have something to back it up. It isn't just what we heard from someone else or saw on the internet, so therefore it must be true. That it's fact-based that what we're communicating. We can actually open up a book and show where we got our information from, what well we drew our water from. But that's not enough, because God knows, decade after decade after decade in America, we have been thinking, listening, and talking. So the fourth one has to do with the becoming an action-oriented solutionist, and to become a person that is a solutional individual and always looking for a solution. Because sometimes people bitch and moan and complain and get crabby about stuff, and then one gets the sense that, oh, you know, 5 years, 10 years from now, they'll still be moaning about the same thing. And our philosophy is that, well, when there's a problem, let's like a ratchet wrench, let's do the click, click, click. Let's take a look at it, do a full 360 around it, and then let's solve it. Let's be a part of a tribe. Let's be a part of a people. Let's be a part of a group of people, a country of people that are interested in developing solutions. That come out of thinking, listening, and speaking together. Because there's an ancient African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. But going together involves thinking, listening, and speaking, and then coming up with solutions. So how do we do this? We do this through the vehicle called the elephant experience. And the elephant experience then allows people to deal with issues that have vexed our country for centuries. And what happens is we have issues like Uncle Tom, three-fifths of a human being, the N-word, reparations, should we tear the statues down? Are we in a post-racial society after a black president for two terms? Can a white person ever fully understand the black experience? Scientific racism, the Tuskegee Syphilis Project. The doctrine of discovery, manifest destiny, all of these topics that people end up butting heads and then blocking each other on social media. And we just want to provide a proprietary process where they can develop rules of engagement on the first class, made up of we will, we're not statements, create a talking stick and the second class that comes from a talking stick I have in my collection from the mid-1800s from the Tokwe tribe of Angola, where the chief or the king of the tribal council would hand this stick about 15, 16 inches long to someone in the tribal council. Whoever held that stick had the authority to speak, and everyone else had the authority to listen. And so the students create all of this first. They develop the how, they're going to do the what, and then they do the what. And every time throughout the book, they see this elephant head, which is a kind of a funky, hippy-dippy, mysterious-looking elephant head. Every time they see that, all the parents, the students, the educators know that this is going to be something that is going to be hot and spicy. It's like going into a Thai restaurant or a Chinese or Mexican restaurant, opening up the menu and see a little red pepper next to a dish. You intuitively know that's going to be hot and spicy. It's the same thing that happens here. And finally, I wanted to mention that, and then we can open it up for some questions if you'd like, is that we have something called we have some music, as you heard at the very beginning of this time together, this conversation together. You heard some music. That was a song about the Civil War. I can't remember the chapter off the top of my head, but it's a chapter about the Civil War. What we had is a team of people from Dr. Kevin K.O. Cates. He has his doctorate in music education, but he also has worked at a very high level with folks like Ludacris, T.I., Rick Ross, Jay-Z, Snoop Dogg, and others, Pharrell, and he's worked at these levels with them. His albums, the albums he has produced have been over 33 million albums. And he is Grammy nominated, multi-platinum. He left the game because he didn't like the pejorative view of women and the different aspects, the violence in the hip-hop music and some other things. Generally speaking, he just said, I'm stepping away. I met him about 6 years ago, and then as Dr. Milton, as Walter and I were writing, we were saying, we need music for this. I said, I have just the guy. His name is K-H-A-O. And so he came up. We went to Atlanta, spent a whole day with him. He looked over the whole project and says, I will commit to doing one song per chapter. So what has emerged is, of course, you see the gentle timeline. But what has emerged is an anthology of black history, of American history, that is, some people have said, could become the next Hamilton on Broadway. It's that good. And you heard one song there. So it's, these are lyrics inspired from, inspired by the content of each chapter. And so when it comes to convict leasing, we had a song on that. When it comes to the Harlem Renaissance, we had a song on that. When it comes to ancient Africa and how we got our name, we had a song on that. Slavery, enslavement, we had a song on that. And so it just is incredible. And it's not the corny type of music, educational music. It is each one of these songs to go head-to-head with anything that's out there. In fact, in the first 24 hours, it was in the top 10 of Amazon downloads and the top 10 of iTunes downloads. That's how it's expanding across the country. So we're hoping to have the music draw in people to the textbook, and the people that are drawn to the textbook, to the music, and to have this be a combined force that can begin to impact our culture in a magnanimous way. So I guess I can stop right now, and if anyone has any questions or comments or anything that you have, what we've learned from this process or whatever, anything on your mind, I'm happy to respond.
Very, very good. Dr. Freeman, this is Dr. James King. I have spoken with Walter Milton about your project. I actually have the book on my the playroom. It's on the table. It stays right there.
Oh, wow.
On the table, and we look at it all the time. First copy I ordered was actually stolen. I had to order another copy of it. But it was okay because I said, well, look, whoever took the copy, hopefully they're going to read it, you know? We have it on camera, you know, the surveillance camera for the house. But nonetheless, let me go into a couple of things here. It's so refreshing to hear the bulk of the work that you've done with this, and I love what you mentioned about solutions, the idea that that not only that this book, but you said action-oriented solutionist, right?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
This book is the solution because it is based in truth. And we spoke about this recently, on the forum or with the participants of the forum, that if we are being educated and the education that we're getting is based in truth, then it can only be applied because now it's truth. It's not just somebody's opinion or somebody's rewrite. So this is more about world history than it is just about black history, even though it says Black History 365. Because it's based in truth, it is an expression of world history. You can't leave any part of our history out of the global dynamic and it still be truth. So this, you see where I'm going with this? You know, this is the point where I completely applaud two things, right? One, you're not African-American, and yet you've embraced this truth, knowing the value of it and the power of it, and I hear your heart in your presentation. I feel the energy of that truth as it flows in and through you, and the experience that you had putting this this document together with Dr. Milton and the other participants. I am touched by the fact that you have taken the time and created this particular, are attracted this purpose in your life, and that you've been able to exercise and share your purpose with us. And I got a bunch of questions, but I'm not going to go into it. You spoke about the Green Book. You spoke about the Stockholm Syndrome. If you could just do that for me for a minute, and then I'll be quiet and let someone else come in and comment. The Stockholm Syndrome.
Yes, just, you know, that all comes from someone being captivated and then, mm-hmm. in a sense, almost giving space for their captors after time, where they kind of almost fall in love with them. You know, or they,
excuse me one second. Is this going to be some technology issues? Are you hearing a little bit of muffling in there? I mean,
yeah,
you
no.
Know.
We could put it on mute.
It's unmuted.
Is that better now?
Is that better now?
It's just echoing.
Yes.
Just
echoing. That's okay. Better.
Okay.
Basically, it's
when it comes to the Stockholm Syndrome, when someone is captivated.
One second. Does somebody have a speaker on? If they have a speaker as well as something else behind them. Okay, try it again. Thank you.
Okay, testing 1, 2, 3.
Much better.
Okay, I think that's better. We're back to where we were. The Stockholm Syndrome is where, as we saw, I can't remember her name. She was the daughter of I can see her picture. But she began to be a proponent of the people who captivated her. And this is what happens with abuse, sexual abuse and other types of abuse that have been people experience in family systems, where they will say, well, this never happened this way. It was different. It was okay. I was complicit. And all these types of things that emerge that even PTSD, you know, has a certain element to it. And so that's kind of, we talk a little bit about that those syndromes in the book.
All right.
So,
and this seems, again, to be part of a solution. The book itself, the way that you structured it, is a solution to that particular syndrome as well, one of the solutions.
Yeah, what we did was we decided that we, when it comes to this particular topic, that can everyone hear okay?
Dr. King, if that's the noise behind you, please mute your line while that's happening.
Okay. What we see is that what we looked at is that in this particular topic, that there are you can go too militant or not militant enough. It can be too up in terms of Pollyanna-ish, too down in terms of depressing and shame-filled. This topic can be too right, too left politically. And so we came up with the razor's edge that we call truth centrism. And because this is Walter's experience as a black man in America, and along with his experience as a superintendent and all the other aspects of education, I call him the trailblazer and the keeper of the razor's edge. So sometimes when I would write something, he would then look, of course, looked everything over, and he would say, well, Joel, if you position it this way, not that way, it'll be much more truth-centric in the approach to that topic. And also another thing is that we, you know, every time there's a racially charged incident in America, talking heads get on cable TV, and it's almost invariable. Someone will say in so many words, we need to have a national conversation about race relations in America. And one gets the sense that 3 years, 3 months, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now, that same person perhaps will say the same thing, because that's what's been happening. And so what we felt is that we wanted to come up with something that, in a contextualized manner, starts in kindergarten all the way through 12th grade? And what if this is implemented in schools across the country as it's becoming? We're experiencing an educational earthquake that's gently rolling across the country. But what if schools all across America begin to adopt this at the kindergarten level? Students begin to talk about tough issues and in a contextualized way, of course, but all the way through to 12th grade, now they're ready for things, I think, in a different way to deal with things. So we're going to try to bring in studies, HBCUs and other colleges and universities come alongside and do surveys before taking this with parents, students, teachers, and then surveys afterwards. Then year after year, follow these students through to see how this is impacting. And plus, we're doing something called the Solutionist Academy, which is an after-school program and or a Saturday program that community-based organizations, faith-based organizations, schools, anyone can implement with the professional development surrounding them and helping them so that they're guiding them through the process. Because we have a program called From Cultural Competence to Cultural Humility, a proprietary process we use in professional development to help instructors to be able to make this a truly a student-centered experience rather than in injecting their own stuff.
Fantastic.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. I know there's other people that have questions out there. I need to unmute the lines again so that, and also any of our co-hosts, Tammy or Joe, if they also have questions, let me open up to you as I'm unmuting the line. And first of all, let me just step in for any new callers on the line by pressing *6. Once we open the lines, we welcome you and just want to return the love, energy, and vibration that we share here each day. If you don't have an opportunity to do that this morning, we invite you to come back again. We are here Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, including holidays, and definitely like to hear from you. If not today, then do come back another day soon. Let's remember all ages are welcome on the broadcast, so take the opportunity to invite someone to join us, whether live or on a replay at 712-432-1085, same PIN 915-358#. When you invite people to the broadcast, make sure you alert them if they have Metro PCS or T-Mobile. Some of the cell phone providers have blocks in regard to conference calling. The bridge line they can dial through is 206-451-6043. Once they dial that number, they do need to enter the conference call number and the pound sign behind it, then the PIN number and the pound sign again. This replay will be available until Monday morning at 9 a.m., so make sure that you're sharing that with others in your circle so that we can have more of this education in regard to bh365.com. Again, bh365.com. So anyone that was interested in getting the book that as they had promoted it and shared information earlier in the month, we want to make sure that everyone has access and knowing how to get that. So you can also go into that at the end, Joel. But first of all, let me turn Tammy, I think you were next, and then I'll unmute the lines for some of our family. I know we have some other guests on the line that want to speak as well. And yes,
bh365.org. It's .org instead of .com. bh365.org.
Oh,
I just wanted to interject that. I'm sorry.
Nope, nope. bh365.org. Thank you. Go ahead,
okay,
Tammy.
The only question. Yeah, the question I wanted to ask was that you mentioned the music for each section. How do we access the music if we wanted to hear it? Is it a special app or someplace
to go? We have a special right now at the bh365.org where you get the music, the ebook version, and the book itself all for one price. And it's an incredible deal, actually. Or you can download it on Amazon, Deezer, Tidal, iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify. It's on all major platforms, and they can be downloaded from those.
To download it, where do you go? What site?
Apple Music, iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, Tidal, any one of those that are out there. iTunes, have you heard of iTunes?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe that could be a good place to start, or Amazon Music.
Mm-hmm.
Or Spotify. Any one of those are platforms. You go there and you do a search for Black History 365, and then comma, mm-hmm. and then put in the name Kao, K-H-A-O, and
K-H-A-O,
and then that should take you to Volume 1 and Volume 2, because we had to split it up into two volumes. It was such a large album. So it's Volume 1.
Okay.
It takes you all the way up to around the fifth unit, and then Volume 2 takes you all the way through the entire experience.
Okay, so that's the Black History 365, that and then .com, and then
.org.
A-O.
Dot org. Yeah, okay. It's .org, BH365.org, but if you just put BlackHistory365.com, K-O, K-H-A-O, in iTunes as you're searching, or any other platform, that should take
okay.
you right there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Unmuted. Muted.
Hey, Doc, how are you today?
Very good, thank you.
Good. This is Dr. Herbert Harris. I've been so impressed with your work. I'm author of Solving Race.
Unmuted.
Okay. And we've been hearing and interacting with your work for a good bit, for a good while now. So just want to say thank you so much. We've been finishing up our big read. We've been doing a national reading of our book, and today is our last day. And as a matter of fact, Dr. George Frazier mentioned you yesterday in our conversations in the book and the work
oh,
that you've
wow.
done. So. I'd like
George,
to connect. I'll reach out. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to connect. I've heard about you. I've heard about your work, and I'm very impressed. Yes. Yeah, George Frazier has been a dear friend for years, and we have also, he's part of our advisory board. We have folks like Smokey Robinson, Ambassador Andrew Young, Kathy Hughes, and Dr. Erikana Chohorumbi Kwao, who is the former ambassador to the African Union. And we have a number of other people on our advisory board. In fact, when you open up the textbook, it's like on page 3 or 4, listing everyone. But George is he's a wonderful man. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll get your contact. Yeah, I'll get your contact information from Karen.
Yeah, or Russell Johnson, anyone you can. Yeah.
And Dr. Harris, while you're there, what is the your site again for your read? Is it going to be at 1 o'clock today for the last day? Is that
yep,
correct?
Yes, this is the last read, www.thebigread.net. Thebigread.net. This is the last day, and we complete today with Where Do We Go From Here? Dr. George Frazier blew it up yesterday. I mean, we couldn't even stop the people. He laid it out so hard. They had no questions. Someone said, "Well, no." They said, "I don't have anything to say. You said it all." So today we finish it. And any of you would like to, you can still register for it. www.thebigread.net, and then you can see all of them are on our website now. Thebigread.info. All 20 videos will be on our website after today. Thebigread.info for the website. Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
And I look forward to talking with you, Dr. Freeman.
I look forward to it also. Thank you.
Thank
Great.
You.
This
anyone,
is Sahu
anyone?
Speak Kokai. This is Sahu Speak Kokai. Peace and blessings, everyone. I was just going to say that, Dr. Herbie Harris, it's been wonderful for the big read. And that's just another marketing technique for BH365 to actually do. Dr. Herbert Harris had all the whistles. I mean, when you go to the site, when you click on, he has all the marketing there for everybody at every level. He has all the reminders. Like, he's totally infiltrated the system. I mean, his marketing it was just wonderful for it. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I have another girlfriend who sells books, and I put her on to the big read. It's just wonderful. Thank you so much for doing what you've done, Dr. Herbie Harris. And BH365. Listen, get together and keep expanding this. This is so beautiful. And do a big read for next month or June or July or August. It was a beautiful thing. Peace and love. Thank you so much. It was wonderful.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Anyone else?
Go within or go without. Challenge you don't want to meditate and pray. Hi. This is Trudy B. Sowers. I'm at Dr. Van Sertima. With his wife and child, his daughter, and I had all his autograph books, and I used to work with Dr. Leonard Jeffries. We worked and got a program, Curriculum of Inclusion, in 1983 at City College. Latte student government. And the governor, Pataki, refused to put it in the schools. It was supposed to start in April. And from that moment to this, we're still fighting. You know, so we love everybody who's joined into the fray, and now we're succeeding. Yes, I love success because we have to know that this world would not be without us, just like the Native Americans. They act like they've done something. All they did was, as Dr. Clark would say, discover what we already invented and sell it back to us. And so that's totally wrong, and I just want to say thank you, and keep up the good work. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for everything you've done and continue to do. We're here with you.
Thank you.
Fighting a good fight.
Dr. Friedman, you mentioned something in regard to the wristbands and the police. I was just curious in regard to other programs or initiatives that are going to be able to educate the police or for them to, you know, to have this in a manner that they're walking through it, not just reading about it, more or less.
Yes.
Are there any type of programs that they have the police that they're trying to get across the country?
Well, thank you for bringing that up. We just launched our Black History 365 Education Foundation, and our goal is to raise $100 million plus.
Please mute your line back out, because we're still hearing some background noise. And if you haven't spoken yet, mute your line until you get ready to jump in. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, what we've done, we launched our Black History 365 Education Foundation. Our goal is to raise $100 million plus, and part of that would be to donate a copy of this book, this textbook, to every police officer in the country. You know, first of all, just thanking them for their service and saying this could help perhaps to take you from A to A plus in the way that you reach out to your respective communities. And then we're going to come alongside them with our professional development team and offer that as part of the situation, where every precinct or every area we can train the trainer, where they can actually do some ebook type of situation, where they can actually have meetings going through the entire textbook. And we have a whole section in the textbook called Walking While Black.
I have no aid. I'm moving out of aid.
One second. Let me mute the line back up.
Muted.
So,
okay, go ahead.
Thank you. We have a section called Walking While Black, and it's written and included by a gentleman by the name of A.J. Ali, created a movie called Walking While Black, and he's working with a lot of educational institutions, churches, community-based organizations.
Everybody.
And he is developing this whole process, and so we're introducing the schools to what he's already done. That's what we want to do, is create a space or a funnel, if you will, where we can point people to other resources that come from the textbook to that organization. So he has a tremendous a program called LOVE. LOVE is the answer, an acronym LOVE, and Walking While Black is a great resource that we're promoting through the textbook for schools to help solve the problem, connect the community and the police together. So those are the kinds of things we're doing, and we're very excited about the Blue Ribbon Project, and we are very hopeful, you know, and it's all still in its infant stages, but if we're just thinking that if they had some kind of a band or something they could put around their badge that says BH365 or another pin they can wear when they walk up to a car, that people can immediately see, oh, okay, I can bring the temperature down just a little bit. They've been through this program. They've been exposed to this program, BH365.
Well, that is awesome. And we just thank you for, you know, working on finding solutions to bring the critical thinkers, the fact-based, respectable communicators, the action-oriented solutionists, and the compassionate listeners. Wow, those are some big goals. So We're just definitely looking forward to the whole world becoming, you know, becoming more of that. Because compassion, we definitely need. Listeners, we definitely need. We need more people being fact-based about and respectful. You know, all of that, just each one of those terms just, you know, just make my heart jump in regard to what it could do for the whole world when all of us come together in this realm. So thank you. Thank you so much. Let me just open up the lines one more time since it was a noise.
Unmuted. Muted.
We're over time already, but if there's anyone pressing a question, yes, go ahead.
Oh, this being that, Linda, I just want to thank Dr. Freeman for this.
Unmuted.
All the work, great work that he's doing and the team that's with him. Thank God for you all and continue your good work. God bless you. This being that, Linda, in Chicago. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Dr. Friedman. I have one question. Is the book on Audible?
Well, when you get the e-book version, you can have a male or a female voice read it to you.
Okay, thank you.
Isn't that awesome?
That's awesome, yeah.
And plus you can interact with it on the e-book, you know, where you download the whole thing in your cell phone or iPad or laptop or whatever. And then you could move. You could be in the middle of a wilderness, and you could be interacting with it. And then every school has what they call an LMS, a learning management system. It's called Blackboard, Schoology, Canvas, or some of these others. And so then it shakes hands with that once you get back into a Wi-Fi setting. And then where the teacher says, "Hey, you need to be looking at chapter 3," you know. Pages 73 to 79 or something like that. That's going to be on the test. Then they can, once they interact with it, they can download all that information from the teacher and other students.
Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Good morning, Dr. Freeman. This is Jabari, Cloud Dancer Jabari. Just want to say thank you, sir. It's already been said so many times, but yes, thank you for all your love, time, and energy that you put into this project. That you just put into, like my brother said, the truth itself in getting that out. So just appreciate you, brother, and love you, man.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. You know, every time we talk about this topic, we are very hopeful that people will not just hear the words, but they'll hear the music behind the words, the passion, the love, and the affection that we have for this project. And that's what I hope you heard. Not just the words today, this morning, but also the music.
Well, yes, I downloaded both volumes. I was actually the one playing it earlier. I'll play it again on the way out. But, yeah,
okay.
The music is great.
I'm mesmerized. I'm addicted to it. It's just amazing to me that they were able to put something like this together. We've had other rap artists listen to it, and they all have said that they couldn't do what Kayo has done. Because he has a doctorate in education. He says you have to step away. He says when you're talking about convict leasing or a lynching or anything like that in music form, he says you're touching some very raw nerves. He says, and it's so easy to go emotional, but he had to step away from the emotion to make it educational. And you will find that tension throughout the whole everything that he has done, he and his team.
Yes. Well, I thank you. I thank Dr. Milton. I thank Dr. Johnson. Thank the Billionaire Mastermind Forum. Thank God. Yes.
Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Billionaire Baby, you want to call for the closers? Thank you again, Dr. Freeman. And you, family, can go to bh365.org. Again, bh365.org. And order your books or the e-book or the hard book copy. But we definitely encourage you to share news in regard to this masterpiece that they've put together with your communities, your families, and so much more, your churches and communities. Thank you. Thank you again, and hope you come back in business again, Dr. Freeman.
Yes, I'd be very happy to.
Thank you,
I just want to add, when he didn't, he wasn't able to recall the chapter of that particular song. It's chapter 6. American Civil War, 1861 to 1865.
And
thank
Dr. Freeman,
much.
Stay on until we close out, okay? Stay on until we close out if you can.
I will.
Thank you, Dr. Freeman. Fantastic, fantastic presentation. And so let us look for our closers. My check, Ellen and Eslyn. My check, star six.
Star
Billionaire
six,
Ellen. Awesome, awesome broadcast.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Okay, go, Eslyn.
This is Eslyn, rejoicing in abundance. Just want to share something with you about the Billionaire Mastermind Forum broadcast family. Ooh, we are like a box of chocolate.
Yes.
Never, ever know what you are going to get. But you are guaranteed, I mean guaranteed, that it's going to be better than good. Dr. Ali Countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Crazy good. Crazy rich good. Crazy, crazy rich loving and happy good.
Happy good. Sexy good.
Thank you, Dr. Freeman. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Freeman, you are a brother
thank
from another. Thank
you.
You.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Awesome broadcast.
Thank you.
I heard Lincoln freed his slaves. The North rose up to save the day. Black soldiers fought too. The Civil War made it all new. Black people, 3/5 of a person. Everyone realized it wasn't working. One thing's for sure, there's a lot to know and learn about the Civil War. Let's go. Let's get some facts straight, cause trust there are plenty. When I say Union, I mean states totaling 20. And Abraham Lincoln was president. Much was being made of the beliefs of the North and Southern residents. The South was getting richer, and mostly because of slavery. Imagine not paying the bakers inside your bakery. Cookies in the bread, fresh and warm as the tropics. You getting fat off the calories and the profits. How rich? I'm glad you asked about dollars and cents. Most companies budget wages at 75%. If you were such a company, would that tick you off a bit? Would you feel in the North and these donuts dipped in chocolate? Some of the founders like this. And Franklin actively dissed it. He even led groups some would call abolitionists. When Lincoln won the office, the South left the Union. Party lines, he was slipping on a Sandy Drawman, trying to stop a war and save the nation. That 750,000 died trying to take it. The Confederacy was 11 states strong, and the Union was 20 deep. Nobody thought it'd take that long. They were wrong. 4 years full of battles. Who gets to write the rules about the black human chattel? Understand that Lincoln having a country that was raging was the reason he wrote the Emancipation Proclamation. I heard Lincoln freed the slaves. The North rose up to save the day. Black soldiers fought too. Civil War made it all new. Black people, 3/5 of a person. Everyone realized it wasn't working. One thing's for sure, there's a lot to know and learn about the Civil War. Let's go. Let's talk delegates before we move ahead. It may be helpful to think about this like a bed. Say you got a California king and a twin. It's obvious to which one you can fit more in. Both can get the job done when you're sleepy. But the point is, they're pretty much the same, but not really. States are like that in that they pay taxes in both. But the difference is the sizes and times it's not close. For every 30,000 people, states get a delegate. So though you are a state, there's only so much you can represent. The South had the most slaves and wanted them all counted. Nice try, but the North had their own way around it. Blacks were seen as property to buy, sell, or lease. Same as if the North wanted to count horses and sheep. South replied in favor since they lived where the blacks lived. One last thing, it meant paying more in taxes. They needed a compromise, a one-size-fit version. The answer was for blacks to be counted 3/5 a person. The North figured political power could free the slaves, but it ain't black and white because even the North needed the gray. I heard Lincoln free the slaves. The North rose up to save the day. Black soldiers fought too. War made it all new. Black people, 3/5 of a person. Everyone realized it wasn't working. One thing's for sure, there's a lot to know and learn about the Civil War. Let's go.
Both sides fought for righteousness, survival. In the left hand, a rifle, and in the right, a Bible. The cotton gins in the north needed the raw materials. When it came to exports, the north became imperial. Cotton by the ton, made goods by the acre. Thing is, great prices all came from free labor. Cash 22 for the banks in the free states that lent money to the south states. That's raining during the cloud break. It ain't what it seems. Free states to a former slave ain't what it means. Manifest destiny did not work for Dred Scott, who called for his freedom, but his signal hit a dead spot. Supreme Court heard him out and made the decision. No black person could ever claim United States citizen. For years after that went the Dred Scott decision that allowed slave owners to move around with people in prison. Let's go. I heard Lincoln freed the slaves. The North rose up to save the day. Black soldiers fought too. War made it all new. Black people, 3/5 of a person. Everyone realized it wasn't working. One thing for sure, there's a lot to know and learn about the Civil War. Let's go.
All power to the people.
Thank you, Jabari.
You're welcome, Lady Tycoon family.
This session is no longer being recorded.
Thank you, Jabari.
Thank you very much.
Make it the greatest day ever.
You're welcome, Dr. Freeman. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Freeman.
Oh, it's been a joy to be here. Thank you. It's made my day already. What a way to start a day, right?
Hey, you need to come on back. We do this every day, 14 years, 5 days a week,
wow,
including the holidays. We're right here.
My goodness. Wow.
And you 100% brother, Dr. Freeman. Thank you. A big brother at that.
Thank you. Wow. Well, God bless.
Right,
thank you, each one.
All right.
Yeah, Dr.
Have
Freeman,
a good
so you say we can
go
reach
ahead.
You through Dr. Johnson. Hello?
Yes, I'll give you my cell number if you'd like.
Yes, please.
Muted.
My cell is 410.
Unmuted.
991-991-9718. And it's always good to text first and just say your name and how we met real quick. It's not that you're not memorable. It's just that my brain is getting fuzzier as I get older.
and you're a busy man. I get it.
Make connection right away, and I will make connections in a few seconds. But the email address is greatworkshops@gmail.com. Greatworkshops is plural.
And it's spelled the normal way, right?
Yes, G-R-E-A-T, yes.
Okay, @gmail.com. Thank you, sir.
And when you send an email, or if you send an email, just to put my name in the subject line.
Put your name in the subject line. In the subject
yeah.
line. Okay.
Please, that would be, because you get so much spam, but when you see something to Joel Freeman from, then I will take a look at it.
Yes, sir. Wow, God bless you. Thank you again.
We thank you for your time today.
Yeah, excellent presentation.
Thank you. If you go to whitemansjourney.com, that is kind of my story of how I got involved, how I became interested in black history. It's white man's, no apostrophe on the S on man's, but just whitemansjourney.com. And that'll give an overview.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that on another day, Dr. Freeman.
Yes.
All right. Well, great job, and thank you so much for your interest in our people and all that you've done to help educate all of us as a people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate
it. Right, everyone.
It.
Go, go, go. Make it a great day. I forgot to say that we don't have weekends. We have strong beginnings. So let's go, go, go. Make it a great day.
In the quiet crucible of our personal, private sufferings, that our noblest dreams are born. and our greatest gifts are given, and often given in compensation for what we've been through. It is in the quiet crucible of our personal, private sufferings that our noblest dreams are born and our greatest gifts are given, and often given in compensation for what we have been through.
I'm so sorry that wasn't on the recording. Who was that?
I'm serious. Why did we have that on?